Acts chapter number 16, if you would please, and we have already looked at the first several verses, first five of them, and let's start with those verses. We'll read down as well through verse 10, and then we'll get right into it, okay? So we've already prayed over it, and we have a short amount of time, so let's get right into it. Acts 16, then came he, this is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So last week we looked at verses 1 through 5. We learned that there was a new protege for Paul. Remember that he and Barnabas had split company, gone their separate ways. He was with Silas now. Before he had had a protege, both he and Barnabas, in John Mark, who had kind of failed in their first missionary journey. But now he gets a new protege by the name of Timotheus, or we call him Timothy. We talked a little bit about that and how he was faithful and he had a good report and he had been circumcised, which seems like a little bit of a contradiction from the previous chapter, but we explained that last week. Now we move on from there to verses 6 through 10. I would title these verses the Macedonian Call. Because as I mentioned to you last week, all 10 of these verses, the first 10, are really the beginning of the gospel heading toward you and me. Paul and his companions, Barnabas and John Mark and the rest of them, up to this point have taken the gospel somewhat in what we would call now the nation of Israel, and they had gone northward into Syria, and then they had gone over and into what is now modern day Turkey, and they had shared the gospel in a few of the towns that were near near the coastline of Turkey and had come back, and the gospel was still in that general region. And so now it's going to begin to come our way through Europe, and we'll see that here in a little bit. So again, this is all about the gospel advancing toward us, but before it can do that, there needs to be a Macedonian call. So the first thing I would point out to you is in verses 6 and 7, we have forbidden ministry. Forbidden ministry. Now, Paul and Silas were trying their best to do God's will. Paul and Barnabas weren't trying to do their own thing. Paul and Silas were not trying to do their own thing. They're not here, trying to do selfish ministry or ministry for themselves, and they are trying their best to do God's will. We read about them in verse 6, they went through Phrygia and Galatia. They were trying to preach the word in Asia or seeking to. In Mysia, they went to go preach the gospel there in Bithynia, and they went through Mysia then and came to Troas, and in none of those places was God allowing them to preach the gospel. And they were not wrong in trying to do God's will. What I'm trying to point out to you is this. Did you notice that Paul, when he began his ministry after getting Timothy, it's not as if he automatically knew right away he was supposed to go to Macedonia. He has to fumble around a little bit. Do you notice that in the passage that we read there? Do you think maybe that for Paul and Silas, those days were maybe a little confusing? Do you think that maybe he was wondering, what is God doing here? Why are these doors not opening up? I think I should preach the gospel here, but it's not working. You see, they were not wrong to try to do what they thought was right. They're never reprimanded for trying to preach the gospel in these different places. They aren't allowed to do it, but we find nowhere where God chews them out, where God rebukes them, where a prophet from one of the churches nearby comes up and says, hey, Paul and Silas, you're not right with God. Get right with God. You need to know God's will, and it ought to be automatic for you. We don't find that. They're just simply trying to do their best, and they're never reprimanded for it. What they were doing is they were trusting the hand of the Lord to guide them. Let me say that again. They were trying to trust the Lord and the hand of the Lord to guide them. And do you know that's what God does with all of us? Look with me if you would. Keep your place in Acts 16, but look at Proverbs 16. This is a Bible principle. God guides us with his hand, and we just have to trust him to guide us. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 9. In fact, I'm going to have you read it with me. We'll give everybody a chance to get there. I'll wait till the page turning quiets down just a little bit. All right, Proverbs 16 and verse number 9, and then we'll read it together. All right, here we go. Ready? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I believe what that verse is saying to us is this. In our mind, in our heart, we have an idea of, okay, if God wants me to serve in X ministry, this is how it's going to go. Any of you that have served in any kind of ministry, whatever, big or small, isn't that the way you were? I can remember in my mind when I was called to go into ministry, I had these ideas of, well, this is exactly how it's going to go, and it's going to look like this, and the end result will be this, and it almost never is. A man's heart deviseth his way. But how does God get us to where we need to be? He directs our what? Steps. He doesn't give us a map and say, okay, you're going to go from here and directly take one jump over there. He directs our steps. I saw an illustration one time at a camp, I think it was, many years ago, where a pastor, in fact, it may have been Pastor Angel, I'm not sure. Some of you remember when we've had Terry Angel with us in years past, but I think it was him. And you know, he set up an obstacle course on the stage, and the stage was larger than this. And he had a teenager come up at the camp, and he blindfolded the teenager, and he guided him from one end of the platform to the other through this obstacle course by simply telling him, okay, take one step forward. All right, take two steps to your right. You know, one step forward and go backward and one step at a time or a couple steps at a time. He guided him, though this student was blinded by a blindfold, he was able to be guided by directing his steps. He didn't say to him, all right, you're going to go one step forward, two steps to the right, three steps forward, and then four steps to the left, and then don't forget to, you know, quickly move forward five steps exactly. He didn't give it to him all at once. It was one step at a time. Because number one, that's all he could remember. Number two, that's all he could really obey. And you know, that's how God works with you and me. We have an idea in our mind. We devise our way. We think this is how it's going to work. But God guides our, what's the word again? Steps. That ought to encourage you and me. Do you realize that's what God is doing here with Paul and Silas? Even the great Paul? Yes. Paul did not know automatically what God wanted for him. Well, I thought Paul was spiritual. I mean, Paul, you just need to walk with God more. If you just had better quiet time, Paul, you would know exactly what God's will was for you. And you'd stop fumbling around in Turkey when you're supposed to be in Europe. No, that's foolish. Paul was walking with God. But listen, do you know what? Paul dealt with flesh like we deal with flesh. The other thing about it is, God is not necessarily interested in always letting you know exactly what he's doing. Did you catch that? Did you hear that? God is not always interested in you knowing exactly what he's doing. He wants you to obey. He wants you to trust him. Sometimes we are like modern children. You know, modern children. Every generation thinks the current generation of children are not very good. But listen, modern children rarely hear from their parents, because I said so. But you know, that's a good thing. Not all the time, but that's a good thing at least every once in a while for a child to hear. Mom, why do I have to do such and such? Mom, just every once in a while, I'll throw that in there for fun, because I said so. My mom was really good. She had a saying that, I mean, you couldn't argue with. She would say, if I would say, Mom, why do I have to do such and such? And she would say, Mike, because you're so good looking. And I, how can you argue with that? Well, thanks, Mom. I guess I'm going to do the dishes now, right? But, you know, just because I told you so, you know, that's a good lesson for kids to learn. Sometimes it's right to tell them the why, I realize that. But sometimes they need to understand, listen, God doesn't always give you the why. God doesn't always give you the end result. Sometimes he just wants you to trust him. In fact, I would say most of the time. And that's the way it was for Paul and Silas here. They didn't know. They were doing the best they could. They were trusting in the hand of the Lord to guide them. And we can see from the passage that that's exactly what God did. He guided them step by step. We see in, again, Acts chapter number 16, verse 6, they had gone throughout Phrygia. So again, this is north of Syria, if you know a little bit of your geography. And I meant to have a map and I didn't get it done today. But north of Israel, there is Syria. And you go over kind of just up and a little bit to the west, and you're over into, again, what is modern-day Turkey. And that's kind of the whole area where they're going. They go through Phrygia, and it's not there. And so they take the next step, and God says, or they go to Galatia, and it's not there. And then Asia is kind of the bigger area toward the western end of, again, what is now modern-day Turkey. And we know from Paul's other writings that he really wanted to preach the word of God in Asia. And what does verse 6 tell us? They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Don't do it. God told them no. And then we see later on, without going through it all again, later he suffered them not. In other words, he did not allow them to do it. So one of the things I want to point out to you is this. We do not see Paul and Barnabas. I'm sorry, Paul and Barnabas. I keep saying that. Paul and Silas. Whenever I say Barnabas, you just hear Silas, okay? Translate for me, okay? We do not see Paul and Silas taking their Old Testament scrolls, sitting down with a cup of coffee, and saying, I'm going to find God's will in a Bible verse from the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes in Christianity, we have this idea, okay, if I want to be guided by God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have a cup of coffee, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm going to start reading, and God will guide me from a verse. You realize you never see Paul and Barnabas do that, not even once. Not even once. You never see anybody else in Scripture do that. To be guided by God, that they take whatever scriptures they have and just search for a verse. And I've heard good pastors that I respect say things like, well, don't tell me that you're called to do such and such until you can tell me that God gave you a verse on that. Can you show me that in Scripture? Because I don't find anybody in Scripture finding God's will by just landing upon a verse and going, it says, go to the north, therefore God wants me to go north. But yet Christians and independent fundamental Baptists do that today all the time. Listen, can God guide you that way? I think he can. But be careful. Don't put God into a box, and don't think that that is the primary way God is going to guide you. God does not primarily guide us that way. Now, I have had times where I've had things like that happen. I'm reading just normal Bible reading, and it seems like a certain verse stands out to me, and it's as if God himself is saying to me, that's for you, and you need to do such and such. I have had that happen, and I've acted on it, and I believe I was right in doing it, best I could tell. So I think God does every once in a while do that, but don't seek for it, because what can happen is your mind and mine, are you hearing me now? Can read into the scriptures whatever we want it to say. I've been there. I've done that. And I've maybe wanted this thing or that thing, and so I've sought God's will, and I use the Bible kind of that way, and I read a verse that seems to say that maybe God is telling me that I should do such and such thing. That whoa, that's not God's primary way. Now again, the scripture does say, thy word is a light unto my path, right? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I think it can, but we don't find in scripture where we are told that is how God is primarily going to work, okay? However, when we seek for that kind of a place, we get into that kind of a way of God showing us, we are in a dangerous place and we can fall prey to our own devices. Does everybody remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You know, that's what you and I need to do. We need to be careful to take the time to say, God, I'm not going to trust my own devices, my own ways of imagining this and thinking this through and trying to logically think through everything. I'm not going to trust that, Lord. I'm not going to lean unto that. But in every step that I take, I'm going to acknowledge you. God, you are the author of my life. You are my director. I need you to direct my steps. I'm going to start to take maybe a step forward. I think this is where you want me to go. And God, I'm trusting you to guide me. And he will direct our paths. Let me tell you a story from my life. And I think I made the right decision on this. I can't guarantee you. But I'm here today, and I think I'm in God's perfect will, okay? So the decision that I made brought me to here, so I think I did it right. But you take it for what it's worth. But there was a time in my life and ministry, this is quite a few years back, long before I came here. But when my wife and I, we were in a time of our ministry where we were kind of in an in-between situation. And there was a particular ministry that I had heard about that was open, and I had a little bit of a burden on my heart for that ministry, and I thought maybe that's where God wanted me to go since I was kind of in a transition time. And so I got on my face before God, and I prayed. I mean, I got alone with God. I laid down prostrate before the Lord and prayed and sought God's face. And I felt very much led to pray something like this. Lord, if you want me to go to that ministry, have such and such a person call me and ask me to take that ministry. And the phone rang. And it was the person that I had mentioned in my prayer. And he said, Brother Weiss, I was wondering if you would take this ministry. Well, doesn't that seem like, I mean, that's got to be God, right? So my wife and I continued to pray about it. We got counsel, and all the counsel said, you know what? I think you should go from what you told me. You prayed, that happened, that must be God's hand. We went there, we visited the ministry, and my wife and I both, the entire weekend we were there at that ministry, had a complete and total lack of peace. This is not it. This is not it. This is not it. My wife and I both were in agreement. This is not it. Don't take it. And so very warily, sheepishly, I said no. And it made some people who were my counselors mad and some other things. But I was sure that's not what God wants. And you know, within a few short years after that, I came here. And again, I believe this is exactly where God wants me. I believe this is the center of his will for me and has been for the last 12 years. You might say, well, Pastor, what about the thing you prayed and it happened? I think, friends, sometimes God gives us those fleeces to show us, okay, you're looking for a sign. Here you go. Here's a sign. But are you going to trust the sign or are you going to trust my leading? Do you understand? Are you going to trust the sign more, or are you going to trust the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit who says, no, not that way. See, God is not as interested in giving us signs as he is you and me humbling ourselves before him and saying, Lord, I just want to obey you. Lord, just show me, just guide me. I'll do your will. Even though it makes me look stupid, even though everyone else doesn't agree, Lord, I want to do your will. I think that is what God was trying to teach me. And again, I hope and trust I made the right choice. By the way, that ministry was taken over by another individual and is doing well today. I think that was what the Lord wanted. So we have to be careful on those things. Be careful how you seek God's will. Paul and Silas here seem to be doing it the right way. They're just looking for the open door. I could give you other examples, but I won't spend a lot of time on that. Let's go to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Notice what it says, again, in verse number 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. All right, and then verse 7, but the Spirit suffered them not, it says at the end of verse 7. Here's what I want to ask you before we move on to the next section. Why would any ministry be forbidden? Notice that it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Why would any ministry be forbidden? Have you ever heard this statement? You can never take the gospel to the wrong address. Anybody else besides me heard that? I've heard that. Boy, that makes good preaching, doesn't it? You can never take the gospel to the wrong address. And in a way, I believe that. Okay, but is there a Bible verse that says that? Well, not really. I mean, we're told to take the gospel to every creature, so I guess you could use that, but that doesn't fit with what happened here. Paul was forbidden to preach the word in Asia. How could God forbid ministry? One of the things I would point out to you is this: God has a plan in all things. God has a plan in all things. And I'm not saying that you and I will, you know, someday take the gospel to somebody's house and knock on their door and that someday we're going to give an account and God's going to be angry at us because you took the gospel, you left a gospel tract at that door. How dare you? I don't think God's going to do that to us, okay? I don't want to give you that idea, but at the same time, you and I ought to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that He might say, hey, not that door, the other door. Because maybe that door, someone would argue with you for a half an hour, and in that half an hour's time that you're arguing with that person, the person next door is going to be leaving for work. But if you'll go there first, you'll catch them before they go to work and give somebody that God's been working on a gospel tract at the right time. Right? That's apparently what God is doing here, and God is saying, no, don't go there. So you and I need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God has a plan in all things. Romans 11 talks about that. Let's turn over there quickly. Romans chapter number 11, that God has a plan in all things. Romans chapter number 11 and verse 25. And we're going to have to jump down to some other, let's see here. Let's start with verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. We don't have time to read all the verses, but I would encourage you to read down then through the rest of the verses. And what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Romans here is, listen, God had a plan. Okay, the Jews rejected the gospel. That's a horrible thing. Man, I wish they wouldn't do that. But don't worry, God has a plan in that. In them rejecting the gospel, God now is going to turn his attention to the Gentiles and give them the gospel. What does that mean? The Jews are done? Oh, no, no. God has a plan for that too. He's going to use the Gentiles to get the gospel later to the Jews, and God will save them as well. You see, God has a plan. So in your ministry, it's the same way. There might be a ministry that you really want to be a part of, and God says no. But God, I mean, the people in deepest, darkest, you know, whatever tribe in such and such a place, they need the gospel. Okay, that's true. And maybe God wants you to go there. But if God says no and he sends you somewhere else, don't worry, he's got a plan for that. Keep praying and just obey. And by the way, just like with Paul, later on you might be able to go to that tribe. Because Paul later on goes to Ephesus, which is in Asia. But there's a time and a place for that, right? We have to trust God with all these things. He has a plan. Just think of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time for everything. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And, you know, very shortly thereafter, of course, we know he and his family had to flee to Egypt. They came back. They went to Nazareth. And as soon as Jesus learned to talk, he was preaching, right? No. You know what he was doing? Learning to obey Mary and Joseph. He submitted himself to their rule. And the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature. And there were lots of years where Jesus' ministry, his task, what the will of the Father was for the Lord Jesus was to probably go to Hebrew school, probably sit under Joseph's tutelage in the carpenter shop and learn how to do carpenter work. And probably, get this, young men, Jesus probably had to do some chores around the house under the direction of his mom. And we're talking about the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, shouldn't he be out preaching? I mean, he's 13, 14, 15 years old. Come on. He's practically a man, right? Get out there and preach. No, no, no. God's will for you right now is to submit yourself to your mom and do what you're told. And then even when Jesus became an adult, he didn't start his ministry till he was approximately 30 years old. And when he was approximately 30 years old, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and then he started preaching right away, right? No. Soon as he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost descended on him, voice from heaven, right, the whole thing, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted for a time of Satan. It wasn't straight out into preaching. He went away from people into the wilderness. And then even when we read about him, there were through his ministry, there was a time when he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go the way that the Father wanted him to go to reach that Samaritan woman. There was a time where people wanted him to stay in their town and stay with them and preach more. And he said, no, I have to go to the other towns, for therefore am I sent. There was a specific will that the Father had for him. And you know what? It's going to be the same way for you and me in our ministry and in life in general. So just follow God's plan. And so look at Acts chapter number 16 again. What did God finally use to direct their steps? Well, it says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. What did God use to direct their steps? God used a vision. So that means that from now on, anytime you want to know what God's will is for you, you need to take some sleeping pills and wait for a vision. Eat pickles and ice cream right before you take the sleeping pills. That way you'll have lots of visions, right? Is that what the Bible's telling us? No, obviously not. Did God always use a vision? No, God didn't use a vision to tell them not to go into Asia. How did God forbid them? We don't know. Well, the Holy Ghost somehow forbade them from going there. We don't know how that happened, but this time he uses a vision. Listen, sometime in your life, God might use a pastor talking to you and saying, hey, maybe God wants you to do X. Okay, you know what? I'm going to pray about that. And God gives you peace, and that's what it is, and there's an open door. And then the next time, it might be that you go to that same pastor or another pastor and say, hey, I'm done with that task. Now there's another opportunity. Is this God's will? And the pastor says, I have no clue. Oh, man, God, aren't you going to do the same thing every time? No, God doesn't do that. He uses different things at different times in his own will. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God does not always use the same thing in the same way. Sometimes he uses visions. Sometimes he uses a Bible verse popping out at you. Sometimes he'll use a still small voice. Sometimes he'll use a counselor. But God doesn't use the same thing all the time. And God wants you to just listen. He wants you to know him and allow him to guide as he sees fit in his time and his way. And when they saw the vision, they were able to go forward with confidence. Now, one of the things I'll have you note before we close is, by the way, in the foyer there, if we could keep that down in there, that would be great because we can hear just about everything that's going on. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry to be a bully on that, but it is very distracting. Notice, if you would please, in Acts chapter number 16, that it says in verse number 10, and after he had seen the vision immediately, and what's that next word? We. You know, that's a change. Before that, it was Paul was doing this, they were doing that. Right here, it starts out, we. And by the way, who's doing the writing? We realize the Holy Spirit's leading, right? But who's doing the writing? It's Luke. So this apparently is when Luke joined them once they had the vision. And if I'm not mistaken, from now on, for the rest of the book of Acts, almost entirely, there might be some exceptions, but most of it is going to be we. So Luke joins them here. Interesting, isn't it? Let's pray, and I'll let you go. Heavenly Father, thank you for the things that we have learned tonight. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, you have been good to us. Thank you that you guide us in different ways at different times. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can simply trust you to guide us and lead us, and you'll do it in your time and in your way. And Lord, that you'll even make up for our mistakes, and Lord, that we don't have to worry about whether or not everybody's job is being fulfilled. We just have to worry about what you've called us to do. Help us with that, Lord. Help us just simply to be obedient. Now, Lord, for these, your people, would you bless them? Would you encourage them tonight? Would you meet their needs? Lord, I just pray that you would keep them physically safe as they go home. Lord, would you keep them spiritually safe for the rest of this week? Protect them from false doctrine. Protect them from any kind of deception that Satan would give. Would you protect us all from sin and the temptations of the flesh? Lord, I pray that you would do that. Bless your people. Let them bring honor and glory to your name this week. In Jesus' name, amen.